And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 this morning, as we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Matthew, a story that focuses our attention on the work and way of the Messiah. Now, we have considered what Jesus did as he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and ministering to the needs of hurting people. And we have noted that Jesus calls all who would follow after him to join him in that very important God-given work. But what would it look like to participate in the work of Jesus? Certainly it would consist of something spectacular, something impressive, something most remarkable. Think about this morning, the most remarkable thing that you've ever been a part of. You know, as a child growing up, I dreamt of sports success, like many kids growing up in our culture, of scoring the winning touchdown or hitting the big game-winning shot at the buzzer in basketball. And if you've been watching the Olympics, it's those kinds of things that inspire people to pursue those achievements. We've seen some amazing athletes. But this morning, I want us to pause to consider the most remarkable things Jesus did. We might recall some of his encounters, some of his conversations, and particularly some of his miracles, like the time he walked on the water, or when he fed the 5,000, when he calmed the storm, or when he healed the blind man, when he cast out the demons, or perhaps when he brought Lazarus back to life. If you could travel back in time to see firsthand any activity of Jesus, what would it be? And then consider the amazement that would come over you as you watch Jesus do those remarkable things. But I want you to know this morning, we don't have to travel back in time to observe the marvelous work of Jesus. Jesus is living and active and still doing remarkable things in the lives of people today. And we've been hearing some of those stories. That's been so fun. And he invites each of us to participate in God's ongoing work in this world. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was going about changing lives. He was doing the remarkable in the lives of people. And in chapter 9 of Matthew, we discover that there were certain people who participated in the work of Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, 'Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven.' And some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This fellow blasphemes.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' then he said to the paralytic, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and go home.' And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to man." In this passage, Jesus was busy working, doing amazing things in the lives of people. And it's interesting to me that some seemingly ordinary and unnamed people were a part of it. Verse 2 tells us they brought to Jesus a paralyzed man on a bed. This morning, I want us to focus on they. Because like the unnamed people in this passage, we too can participate in the work of Jesus if we are moved by deep concern. You see, God does great things in our world and in the lives of people when we are stirred by a sincere love for others. Now, we encounter people every day, people in need. People like the paralyzed man who have significant health concerns. People who are battling isolation and loneliness. We know people who are struggling through relationship troubles, through depression and personal tragedies. We know people who have been abandoned and abused. We know people who need to hear of God's love. We live in this world of need. The paralytic was in need. He was helpless and he was vulnerable. Those who carried him may have been relatives. They may have been friends. They may have merely been acquaintances, but they were stirred by deep concern for this man. When we share God's love for people, we're marked by a willingness to get involved. You know, everyone could see the needs of that paralyzed man. His physical needs would not have been hard to identify. But not everyone was willing to get involved. Because doing so would require time and effort, risk and personal sacrifice. Sometimes we see needs around us, but we're tempted to think, what can I do? What difference can I make? Or we may look and say, someone sure ought to do something about that. And what we mean is someone else ought to get involved. But what is exciting is to see people engaging in various forms of ministry. Teachers who take the time to share the message of Christ and His love through Sunday school. Volunteers who work during Wednesday night programs to plant seeds of faith in little hearts. Others who offer encouragement and support through visits, prayers, phone calls, and cards. Others who serve at Good Samaritan. And still others who volunteer their time and knowledge to make it possible to reach into the homes of so many in our community and beyond through our online and TV ministries. Thank you up there. You know, as we serve in various ways, this passage highlights that we don't have to do something remarkable. Now, I used to think that God's work had to be unusual. It needed to be difficult or something spectacular until I went on a few mission trips. On one trip to Honduras, we shoveled and packed dirt floors for cinder block houses. In the state of Washington, we painted houses and picked up rocks. On most mission trips, we did things like backyard Bible clubs, light construction, possibly a sports camp or a block party. I tell you, none of it was particularly difficult or spectacular. God may lead us to be involved in a community ministry, a church ministry, or a personal ministry. We may clean bathrooms, cook meals, or wash clothes. We may write letters, make phone calls, or make visits. We may work with children or TV cameras. Whatever God leads us to do, we're to get after it. Because God can use anything that is done out of a deep love for God and a deep concern for others. You see, the true test of our love is not the kind of work we do, but our willingness to do what needs to be done. And we can trust God to use even the simplest of tasks. Notice in this passage, they simply carried a man on a stretcher. Doing so was not particularly noteworthy or spectacular. Just about anybody could have done that. But these were willing to do it. And God used their efforts in a remarkable way. They cared for another. How do I know? By what they were willing to do to help him. They brought that man to Jesus. Now, if we are Christian this morning, we have the wonderful opportunity to not only share the love of Christ, but to demonstrate it. And through the expression of such concern, though the act may be somewhat simple, God can take it and do remarkable things. And like those in this passage, we can participate in the work of Jesus if we're characterized by persistent effort. Persistent effort. See, though their actions were somewhat ordinary and unspectacular, the task they were involved in was not without difficulty. I mean, they had to carry a man physically. They had to work together in order to do so. They had to overcome some obstacles. Ministering to others often demands that openness to work together with others. Now, in Mark's account of this story, we're told that 4 men carried the paralyzed man on the stretcher. And I kind of imagine the picture of one on each corner. Now, we don't know how far they traveled, but I would imagine that one man could not have carried the crippled man all by himself. But together, each man taking a corner, they were able to bring this man to Jesus. Through cooperation, through teamwork, these men accomplished together what one could not have done on his own. You know, it's often beneficial to come together in a common work. Like the men carrying the mat, we can come together to assist others in our church, in our community, and our state in sharing the love of Jesus. Some contribute money or items. Some plan a ministry. Some help identify the needs of people. Some provide needed expertise. Some carry out the ministry. It's through that united effort that needs can be met and love can be shared. And that's what church is about. Coming together for that God-given work. That's what our local and worldwide partnerships are about, working to meet the needs of people in the name of Christ, reflecting and demonstrating His love, and simply sharing in the lives of others can lead others to the love and help of Jesus. And when I see this image, I think perhaps the combined influence of a grandparent, a Sunday school teacher, a Christian friend, and a youth minister can contribute to leading someone into a life-changing encounter with Jesus. What happens? Each one grabs a corner of the mat. Each one helps bring them to Jesus. You know, ministry to others demands that cooperation. And it demands a readiness to overcome some obstacles. In Mark chapter 2, Mark records this story, but he adds a little bit of detail I wanted to include this morning. In Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, as they're carrying this paralyzed man to Jesus, it says, "They came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men." Verse 4 says, "Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying." Now that's some extra struggle. That's some more obstacles. These men could have given up at any time. Along the journey, as they carried this man to Jesus. When they got there, they were stopped by the crowd, or when they were hindered by the roof. But they realized the depth of the need, and they were persistent in their desire to help. When they recognized the need, they came together. When they were faced with the journey, they set out. When they became weary, they pressed on. When they were confronted by the crowd, they went to the roof. When they were hindered by the roof, they removed the tiles. They did not give up. They were not distracted from their task. They were willing to work together, to go to a great deal of trouble, and to be creative in order to bring this one man into the presence of Jesus. You know, ministry to others is seldom carried out without problems, without difficulties or obstacles. It will not always be easy or convenient. It may require us to exert energy and effort to make sacrifices. We may have to get out of our comfort zones and do things we've never done before. There may be times when we're tired, when we're discouraged, when we feel as though we're about to give out. And sometimes people can be a discouragement and a hindrance. Mark points out how the crowd got in the way. Didn't they see the need? Why didn't they make way and allow them to carry the paralytic on into Jesus? And the attitude of the religious scribes reflected in verse 3, well, that could not have been very encouraging. But these men were willing to consider new approaches, pressing on despite hindrances, and persevering through any obstacles. You know, sometimes I fear we give up too soon. We focus on the obstacles, the disappointments, the bad attitudes or experiences. Sometimes I fear we quit out of frustration or weariness rather than persevere in love. Far too many have left the work of the church and stopped participating in the work of Jesus. But whatever difficulties, discouragements, or obstacles we encounter, the example of these men inspire us to keep at the task because it is worth the effort, even if just one person is brought into the presence of Jesus. For it's often through the persistent effort of people just like you that God does remarkable things. And like these men, we can participate in the work of Jesus if we're motivated by confident faith. Verse 2 tells us, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." Seeing their faith. Now, that likely refers to the faith of those who brought the man and possibly the man himself. Maybe he had made the request. I hear Jesus is coming by. Will you take me to him? They believed Jesus could make a difference. As we minister to people, we can do so with the confidence that Jesus can change lives. Jesus still changes lives. In fact, he did the remarkable for this man. Verses 6 and 7 tell us, Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. And he got up and went home. Because of the love, the persistence, and the faith of a few men, a man who was unable to walk got up and went home. You know, in ministry to people, we have the opportunity to be used of God to make a difference in their lives. Through your acts of ministry, God can provide for those who need help, for those who need encouragement, for those who need a personal encounter with Jesus. Through your selfless service, God can encourage and uplift those who observe your word. And through your effort and perseverance, God can change lives. What is more, God can do more than we ever expect. Verse 2, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, I've got to imagine that the men who brought the paralytic into the presence of Jesus were hoping that he would be healed. Well, Jesus did that, but he did so much more. He forgave his sins. They were looking for a physical cure, and it was desperately needed, but it would only be temporary. Jesus provided a spiritual cure that would last forever. While some only see the needs on the surface, Jesus sees the needs of the heart. And Jesus moved to meet this man's greatest need. He met his need for forgiveness. He met his need for grace. You see, we need more than our physical needs met. We need spiritual restoration. We need forgiveness. We need his salvation. And as we minister to people, as we do acts of kindness, as we seek to meet people's needs, God can do more than we'd ever dream. In the process, he can bring them salvation. Look at this passage. Look at this story. Think about it. Four ordinary men doing something rather ordinary helped to make a remarkable difference in the life of this man. They were moved by deep concern, characterized by persistent effort, and motivated by confident faith. These four men are among the first of an endless group of people who have made it possible for others to experience the life-changing power of Jesus. And today we have the opportunity to be among them. We have the chance to join them. May we be moved by deep concern for others, characterized by persistent effort, and motivated by confident faith. And may the results be the same as the results of the help provided by these four men. Verse 8 tells us, when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. A life was forever changed, and God was glorified. Man, that's what it's about. That's why we engage and give ourselves to the work of Jesus, that lives might be changed, and that God might be glorified. This morning, have you experienced the remarkable change that only Jesus can bring about? I want you to know this morning, you can. You can know his help and forgiveness. you can experience His grace and salvation. Maybe this morning you're like the man on the mat. You're helpless. You're vulnerable. You're in need of forgiveness and grace. God is inviting you to call out to Him, to experience His restoration, His mercy, and His salvation. Or perhaps you're here this morning and God is laying it on your heart to be like the four men, the they. Have you found a way to participate in the ongoing work of Jesus? Have you found a way to minister to the needs of hurting people? Have you witnessed the remarkable things Jesus does? The change and salvation God brings to the lives of people. I want you to know you can. You know, we're hearing testimonies about it. We're hearing what God has done and what God is continuing to do. How are you a part of that? Have you experienced it? Are you sharing it? Are you ministering to others in a way that would draw them to Jesus? Perhaps this morning God is calling you to respond to Him for the first time. To say, God, I need what You've provided in Christ Jesus. I am helpless. I am in need for what only You can provide. I need Your power to change my life. I need Your mercy to bring me salvation. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're a person of faith. What are you doing to engage in God's ongoing work? You know, He doesn't call us just to experience and receive salvation. He calls us to be a part of His ongoing work in this world. To be used of Him. To grab a corner of the mat and say, let's go. With confidence in what Jesus can do in the lives of people. The help that He can provide. The difference He can make. The salvation He can bring. Perhaps this morning as a person of faith, God is calling you to open your eyes to the needs around you. To say, God, help me see that I might get involved on behalf of hurting people. And that somehow, some way, You might use me to bring someone to You. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're in need of a church home, a place to partner with other believers, to grow in our understanding of Christ and His mission, to partner together in that ongoing work, to have people that you can call on and say, hey, I found out a need, but I can't do it by myself. I need you and two other people to grab a corner of the mat. Will you join me? And maybe this morning God is leading you to join with us to say, hey, I want to be a part of that team. I want to be a part of that ongoing work. Perhaps this morning God is leading you to be among that unknown, unnamed they. Well, what is God leading you to do? How is God leading you to be a part of that ongoing work? However, God may be leading you to respond this morning, whether there in your pew or here at the front. I invite you to do so as John comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation. Would you stand together as we sing Softly and Tenderly?